Hi, and welcome to Michael's Office. I'm Mike Cox. This is a podcast that hosts my unfiltered, unscripted, and genuine thoughts about assortment things in the entertainment world, ranging from video games to music to movies and more. This week, I'll be talking about an assortment things. Movies, yes. Musicals. Wrestling. And my second week of college. So I hope you guys enjoy this week's episode. So please, step into my office. First topic as today, I've been having a bit of a problem with my computer. If you guys want to tell me about it, make sure to talk to me on all my social medias, like my Instagram, which is at MJC1213. My Snapchat, LemonData33. Twitter, which is, I believe, also MJC1213. No, it's MJ Cox, 11. 111, I mean. My Facebook page with my name. It's messing me with that. Every time I log on, like, I'm logging on to the computer, I put in the password, and then it just, like, flickers, and then basically I have to do it again. That's just a small problem. I'll probably ask my dad about it. Just a small thing. Yeah, it's probably a small thing. Probably won't do anything. I could also look up it on Google and see what the problem is and get an answer there. Next topic, I'm going to talk about my second week of college. It wasn't bad. It's not as bad as the first week, and which wasn't that bad at all. This week was very easygoing. It was too easygoing for me. It's just gotten a little more stressful because of the play I'm in, which I'll talk about that later. Just gotten a little bit more stressful with the play, getting closer and closer. I haven't gotten any time to study and create a study guide. But, I'm pretty much ahead in all my classes. I'm ready for next week, basically. I can start next week in most of my classes whenever. I need to start working on homework for, my college algebra class. I need to finish the study guide and write a note card. And then create study guides for my chapters 1 through 3. Thing and health and wellness, but so far it's fine. It's all been going fine. It's just this most stressful part is the play. Eating is not bad either. The food's not bad. It's actually pretty good. Ate with my mom this week because she wanted to catch up. She came back from Italy. That was a fine conversation. I thought it was going to go a lot better. I thought it was going to be a lot less awkward. But it was fine. It was fine for the most part. Talking to people in class. It's kind of just, you're kind of just sticking with your people. It's kind of getting clicky for me, which is not good. I was hoping to know everybody by now. But granted, it's also my second week of college. And you don't know everybody in college. Heck, it took me my senior year to know almost everybody. And there were people that I didn't even know went to our school and was a part of my grade. So even then, it'd probably be quicker since it's such a small campus. Yeah. But I'm excited for what's coming up this week. And quizzes are coming up, which shouldn't be that bad. I'm just ready for it. I'm just going to have to get ready for it. That's all I'm going to have to do. And the next thing is, speaking of the birds, or the play, which is the birds, it's Aristophanes, it's a Greek comedy. It is going to be an authentic Greek comedy with all the motions and the blocking and such. But the, it's so authentic that we're going to be wearing, all the cast members are going to be basically wearing togas and such, which is going to be great. They're a bit hard to walk in, but they're togas. So, yeah, we'll be in togas. It'll be all the audience will be on the stage, so it'll be limited seating. So get your tickets now. 60 seats each night. Go online, go to the MOBAP website or find the Facebook page. You'll find the link there. It's going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun. I'm promising you, when we first blocked the scene, I couldn't stop laughing. It was so good. This is going to be a hilarious production, and so far as we build more and more, it's going to get a lot funnier and funnier and funnier. I'm going to get a lot better, better, and better. Yeah, I'm just excited for you guys to see it. It's this weekend, basically. It's the 5th through the 8th, 4 days of productions, and every one of them is going to be great. I am so honored to work with the director I'm working with. He's a student, so, and it is his final year, so this is kind of like big passion project before he goes. And I am working with such a phenomenal cast. If I'm going to put over some names right now, Olivia Leake, she does an amazing job. Eliana Steele also does an amazing job. Rachel Yarbrough, whatever her name is, she does a fantastic job. Greg Carr also does a really good job too. These characters are great. But there, everybody else, I really like being on stage with. Cam Hume is also another person I love being on stage with at the same time. Just the little things they add in their characters are fantastic. And especially Eliana Steele. I think she'll be the scene stealer. Or even Olivia Leake. She'll be the one where everyone has all eyes on her. I definitely think it's just going to be a great production. And I hope you guys come see it. It's at MoBAP. It's from the 5th through the 8th. It is going to be the doors open at 7 and the show starts at 7:30 and runs to 9:30. So, yeah, I really hope you guys come out and see it. It's going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun. Next topic, we have The King of the Ring as it advanced 4th this week. And there's a lot of unexpected things happened, but were they all good things? I guess you could say that. The next matches happened this week. Last week, which was Ricochet versus Drew McIntyre, The Miz and Baron Corbin on the Raw side, and then on the SmackDown side, it was Buddy Murphy versus Ali and Chad Gable versus Shelton Benjamin. For what I could tell, they were fine matches. They were just fine. Ricochet versus Drew McIntyre looked insane. I didn't see the match. I didn't see the highlights for Miz versus Baron Corbin because I was like, oh, I know who's winning that. But I didn't. And I was the only person I got right was Chad Gable versus Shelton Benjamin. But Ali versus Buddy Murphy, my prediction did go right on one part, that it was the best match of the first round. Buddy Murphy and Ali tore the house down, I heard. And yeah, so the results are on the Raw side. Ricochet beat Drew McIntyre, and The Miz lost to Baron Corbin. I was wrong here both times. I thought Drew McIntyre was going to advance and face off against Samoa Joe, and we're going to get Samoa Joe versus Drew McIntyre. But that didn't happen. The OC didn't get involved whatsoever, which is shocking to me. I'm guessing Ricochet is not getting his championship rematch, unless that already happened. Granted, they're not doing that anymore, but still. Man, that really sucks. It sucks for Drew McIntyre, because I thought, ever since people thought he came back to WWE, so far he's just been the muscle. And that's not what he is. He can be absolutely fantastic. He is Universal Championship material. I definitely think he is. He's always been, and I'm sad that this is where he's going. I really hope they push him again. This would have been the perfect time to push him, along with Cesaro, but that's not what's happening. I'm glad I'm happy for Ricochet. It's just, again, it was a lose-lose situation along with Cesaro versus Samoa Joe. It was a lose-lose situation for both of those guys. If Ricochet loses, well, that's what's gonna ha what happens now? What happens now? Drew McIntyre, same thing. Since he lost, what happens now? Where does he go? Who is he gonna face? What's his push? Is he not gonna get a push? What's going on? Well, at least Ricochet is advancing, and I hope he does win and beat Samoa Joe. So we can create the storyline between Ricochet and Samoa Joe that Samoa Joe can't beat Ricochet. That granted, that's the same storyline as the Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns thing that they did for like a little bit. But I do think that'd be a little bit interesting. Yeah. And then Baron Corbin beat The Miz. That's actually a shocker, but The Miz does get something out of this, which is good. I'm glad that he's getting something out of this. I don't know how the finish went, but Baron Corbin is not winning this. He's probably going to be in the semifinals, facing off against the winner of Samoa Joe versus Ricochet, unless WWE pulls off something shocking. But yeah, I think he's going to be the heel, like the main heel that the person has to overcome to get to the finals. Because that would give Corbin at least some credibility again. Yeah, he's just been kind of doing nothing. I like his new attire though. The tank top with the dress pants looks better than his waiter look that he was going. Oh my gosh. And he's been made memes out of, which is surprisingly, not surprisingly, surprising that he's been people have been making memes out of his thing where he sat on the throne and have the crown on him. Yeah, it was completely shocking that Miz lost. But we're still getting a baby face versus heel. Same thing with the Samoa Joe versus Ricochet, I think, is a babyface versus babyface match. But also, they could definitely still work the heel part with Samoa Joe because he's not really a babyface. He's kind of a heel. Still. But yeah, that's the quarterfinals are Samoa Joe versus Ricochet and Cedric Alexander versus Baron Corbin. I'll get to my predictions later. Next, we have this week it had Ali versus Buddy Murphy, which again I heard tore the house down, and the winner was Ali. I thought it was going to be Buddy Murphy. They were going to continue like giving him this push because he was in the storyline with Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan and Rowan. But it looks like he's just going to be involved with that, and they're going to leave him out of the King of Ring tournament. Sadly, I thought he was going to win, but I'm happy that Ali is getting pushed. And it looks like in the quarter, look, the semifinals for SmackDown, I'm going to go with Ali versus Andrade, which is going to be fantastic. As I said before, I'll get into my predictions later, but it looks like a fantastic semifinals match. Yeah, Ali beat Buddy Murphy, which is an absolute shock, but as I said before, it's because they're probably going to have Buddy Murphy more involved in the Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan and Rowan and Buddy Murphy mystery. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. I really am excited for that. But I'm just sad that Buddy Murphy didn't advance. It was also a lose-lose situation. Same thing with the Ricochet versus Drew McIntyre and Samoa Joe versus Cesaro. It was a lose-lose situation between the two. Because if Ali didn't win, where does he go? This is possibly the only chance to go back to relevancy. Well, Buddy Murphy, it's actually no, it's not more of a lose-lose. It's kind of just lose for Ali if he didn't win that match, which kind of sucks. But he did, and Buddy Murphy still looked good in defeat, as he always does. But as long as they got a plan for Buddy Murphy, I'm fine with it, and I really hope Buddy Murphy does big things because he did beat Daniel Bryan, a former WWE champion. Two-time WWE champion. Yeah, and it wasn't just like a long time ago he was a WWE champion. He was the last WWE champion before the current one. So yeah, that makes definitely looks like Buddy Murphy. He's credible. And it wasn't a roll up too. So Buddy Murphy, they definitely have a plan for Buddy Murphy, and excited to see where it goes. And also, I really hope Ali represents SmackDown Live, and we get forget Ricochet versus Ali. That'd be fantastic. But now it's the next one is Chad Gable versus Shelton Benjamin. I got this one right. Yeah. So Chad Gable beat Shelton Benjamin at 3:52. Ooh, dang it. I thought it was going to be like at least an 8-minute match or a 10-minute match with them going head-to-head in the technical thing. Sadly, that sucks. That really sucks. And it wasn't as good as people thought it was going to be. I heard. Yeah, that really sucks that Chad Gable didn't get... That Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable didn't get more time. Maybe next time. Maybe another time. Yeah, but Chad Gable seems to be sporting the short hair and the trunks, which looks good. Glad he is. Hope to see him more of 205 Live. That'd be great. That would be a perfect place for him to go after SmackDown Live. Yeah. So, the next matches we have on the SmackDown side are Elias versus Ali. I think Ali's going to take it. I think he's going to represent the babyface side of SmackDown Live because you have Chad Gable and they're not going to put in Chad Gable's hand. And, which I think that'll be a fine match. Ali's probably going to carry it ring-wise, which I hope they surprise. Elias has had really good matches, has had pretty good matches before with Roman Reigns. Granted, that was Roman Reigns. But he's had good matches before, and I hope that Ali brings the best out of Elias, which he tends to do a lot with the people he faces. And then it'll be Chad Gable versus Andrade. It's definitely going to Andrade. It's definitely going to Andrade, but I hope they don't do a Chad Gable versus Shelton Benjamin where they just make it short. I really hope they let them go for a decent amount of time. And Andrade looks amazing. That's all I care about. I want Andrade to look good. And then on the Raw side, we have Cedric Alexander versus Baron Corbin and Samoa Joe versus Ricochet. They've been kind of teasing us with Cedric Alexander versus Baron Corbin. They kind of gave us a hint of what we could see for the result for Cedric Alexander versus Baron Corbin. Cedric Alexander got his ankle injured, like, and Cesaro worked on the leg and injured it, or like hurt it, so it'd be hard. So it kind of, that's what WWE's kind of been like hitting at, that Cedric Alexander won't advance to the semifinals because of that leg. And Baron Corbin, oh my gosh, I can't speak. Baron Corbin is going to be in the semifinals, and he, as I said before, he is going to be the heel side of Raw. And, yeah, it should be a fine match. I like Baron Corbin. I'm one of the few people who like Baron Corbin wrestling. But Baron Corbin has a real nice tendency of slowing things down and making things boring. I mean, I'm fine with it. It's just, yeah, he has a tendency to do that type of stuff. Which is fine. That's what a heel should do. But I think Baron Corbin's going to work on the leg, and then Cedric Alexander's going to try for his signature stuff, and he's going to get caught, and Baron Corbin's going to hit him at the end of days, and that'll be that. So Baron Corbin's going to advance to the semifinals. And now this one's going to be really hard, but I want Ricochet to be the Raw representative. I think they are going to go with Ricochet to... But Cream Joe sounds so nice. This one's hard. This one's probably the hardest out of all the quarterfinal matches. Probably to say the second hardest is like Elias versus Ali, because I can see why they'd go with Elias. But there, it's definitely the hardest because either man could win, and it'll be like, it'd be kind of a lose-lose because Samoa Joe's been pushed down for so long, and he needs something like this. But Ricochet will get more opportunities. So I would say if they were going to have to choose between the two, I'd give it to Samoa Joe. He needs this more, and I would say he should probably win this tournament because he needs it. He's had so many opportunities at the championship, and he's been made to look pretty stupid. and he hasn't been able to capture that championship. Giving him a King of the Ring win would definitely help him and help him solidify his legacy in WWE. But the WWE officials seem to be high on Ricochet, which they should be. I'm so glad they are. But yeah, I do think they're going to give it to Ricochet. Because, well, they're high on Ricochet, and I think they might try to go with a Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali route at WrestleMania. High flyer versus high flyer in the match, and just let them go all out. That would probably be a perfect way to finish off the tournament in style, in a good way. So I'm excited for that. Yeah, I'm excited for that match. I think that'll be the best match. It's going to be really... Actually, no. It's either between Andrade and Chad Gable or Samoa Joe versus Ricochet. I do... If I had to go to prediction for the best match of the quarterfinals, I'd put my money on the Samoa Joe versus Ricochet match, because unless they're like, okay, and the writers want to be like, hey, we can beat that. But if they don't, it's going to be Samoa Joe versus Ricochet for the best match of the quarterfinals. Whew. As I said before, my predictions for the quarterfinals is Samoa Joe losing to Ricochet with Baron Corbin beating Cedric Alexander on the Raw side. So it'll be Baron Corbin versus Ricochet. And then on the SmackDown side, Ali is going to beat Elias, and Andrade is going to beat Chad Gable, which has Andrade versus Ali in the SmackDown semifinals with Ricochet versus Baron Corbin in the Raw semifinals of the tournament. And I'll give my predictions there next week. And I'll tell you about the winners also next week. All right, moving on to the next topic. We're getting a little musically here. Actually, no. That'll be later. We will get musically. But right now, we're gonna go ahead and talk about some movies. Recently, a movie I am super excited premiered at a very, very coveted and reputable film festival. Joker. The movie Joker with Joaquin Phoenix. Came out and premiered at the Venice Film Festival. The Venice Film Festival has a reputation for showing the best of what films have to offer that year. Have reputable films like A Star Is Born, Shape of Water. Shape of Water was weird, I heard. And it seemed weird. A woman had sex with a fish. And more other films have premiered at the Venice Film Festival. It has kept its reputation going, and people are a little worried that Joker is going to premiere there. It's like, oh, really? Really? Like a comic book film. But so far, the reactions have come out, and the reviews have come out. And I have not been disappointed in what I have seen. Joker got an 8-minute standing ovation after it, the credits rolled. And if that doesn't tell you that this is going to be a fantastic film, I don't know what to say. It got the loudest reaction so far this year at the Venice Film Festival. And the Venice Film Festival, as I said before, has a reputation for showing awesome films. And since it did that, people are talking about putting the film in the Oscar conversation. And I really, really hope that it does get nominated for Best Picture. And that is the fun film to get nominated. If it gets nominated and also Avengers Endgame gets nominated, that'd be great. That'd be great for comic book movies. But also Joaquin Phoenix is also in the discussion to be a... nominated for Best Actor and possibly win the award. We have the official thing from GameSpot. Thank you, GameSpot, for this article. I'm going to read the whole article. The new Joker movie. This is the Joker movie review roundup here. What the critics are saying, the reviews are in. By Eddie Makuch. The new Joker movie, starring Joaquin Phoenix, directed by The Hangover's Todd Phillips, opens in theaters this October, but the film had its premiere at the Venice Film Festival over the weekend. Reviews for the movie are starting to come in, and to help you get an idea if the film is worth your time and money, we're collecting excerpts for the from reviews here. GameSpot's own Joker review from Michael Ragu said, Phoenix turns in an iconic performance as the clown prince of crime as he delivers a new, complex version of the character we haven't seen before. You can see a rundown of the Joker review excerpts below, while more information on the film's critical reception can be found on GameSpot's sister site, Metacritic. And it gives off the information. GameSpot. It might make you uncomfortable, but it will no doubt stay with you long after the curtains close. Great movies often do. Gives you Time Magazine was not a fan of the film. Fan of the film with Stephanie Zachariak? I'm so sorry. Phillips may want us to think he's giving us a movie about all the emptiness of our culture, but really he's just offering a prime example of it. Oof. Okay, now that's just oof. The Guardian from Zan Brooks says, what a gloriously daring and explosive film Joker is. It's a tale that almost as twisted as the man at its center, bulging with ideals and pitching towards anarchy. Ooh. The Wrap writes from by Alonzo Doradali. Whatever his name is, I'm so sorry. It will be tempting for some to declare this the first art film based on a DC or Marvel property. Well, it certainly represents a bit of a departure and something of a risk. Joker is ultimately grim and gritty comic nihilism, jacked up to the nth degree, wrapped up in a convincing but ultimately hollow simulacra of better, smarter movies. Ooh. IGN gave this a 10 out of 10, a masterpiece, which they haven't done since The Dark Knight, which people are talking about. It might be better than The Dark Knight, which was an absolutely, what people describe as the pinnacle of superhero films. IGN writes, Joker isn't just an awesome comic book movie, it's an awesome comic movie, period. It offers no easy answers to the unsettling questions it raises about cruel society and decline. We live in a society. That wasn't the quote, I just added that. Joaquin Phoenix's fully committed performance and Todd Phillips' masterful, albeit loose, reinvention of the DC source material make Joker a film that should leave comic book fans and non-fans alike disturbed and moved in all the right ways. From Jin Vejvoda. The Hollywood Reporter writes, Joaquin Phoenix boldly reinvents Batman's cackling arch nemesis and Todd Phillips' dark new vision of the villain origin story, also starring Robert De Niro. Speaking of Robert De Niro, Robert De Niro did say this reminded him about The King of Comedy, which he was inspired by and which his character is inspired by some character from The King of Comedy. And there are more reactions from Twitter. Hey, where is the There we go. Oh, Empire wrote it as gave it a 5 out of 5. Forbes said gave it a really good review. Thanks. Okay. Yeah, okay. So far, I haven't found anything that's what I'm looking for, but fine. Terry Schwartz writes, I've seen Joker and I fully endorse his Jim Vegvoda's decision to give our first film review 10/10 of the year. I haven't stopped thinking about it. Rob Keyes, a ski screen rant, writes, I saw the Joker movie and I really dug it. It's a feature that steals your attention and requires time to process. It's an acting showcase for Joaquin Phoenix and a story that's ambiguous and surprising, but one that really grounds Arthur Fleck's transformation. We don't get character pieces like the Joker movie anymore, and I hope this opens doors on that front. It's dark for sure, but also really rewatchable. It'll stick with you and make you feel for Arthur. He said, "Yes, the buzz is true. I can't see how the Oscars can function if Joaquin doesn't get nominated. Easy bet, and fans are going to be clamoring for more of him in this role." Eric Davis, a Fandango, says Phoenix is so dang good. I'm not going to say that word. And that it's a bold, bodacious love letter to Scorsese's King of Comedy. Which the exact quote, the Twitter tweet says, Joker's a bold and bodacious love letter to Scorsese's The King of Comedy, told through the lens of DC's most iconic villain. Dark, disturbing, brutal, and sad, it's about an abused man who doesn't start living until he's dead inside. Joaquin Phoenix is so dang good. More great stuff. People were saying great things about it. I also heard it's going to be a funny film, which excites me that it's going to be actually funny. And the Rotten Tomatoes scores, the critic consensus, if you guys take Rotten Tomatoes seriously, it says, the critic's consensus is, Joker gives its infamous central character chilling, possible, plausible, yeah. We'll start over. Joker gives its infamous central character a chillingly plausible origin story that serves as a brilliant showcase for its star and a dark evolution for comics-inspired cinema. It started, when it first came out, when I first saw the reviews, it said an 86%. Before that, an 85%. And now it's up to an 88%. Percent with 33 total reviews so far, and it's going to continue, and hopefully it continues to go up from there, and I am super, super excited to see what the end result and what people will think about it. I really hope it's going to be what everybody thought about it, and I'm so excited to see this film. Oh my gosh, I can't tell you how excited I am. It's about a month and 3 days, technically a month and 2 days if you're going to go see the premiere. Pretty sure you can go see the premiere. All right, that is Joker. Now, there's one question I have to ask. Now we're going to move on to, we're still going to be a bit on movies, but we're going to talk about something which also has to do with musicals. Movie musicals have kind of been on the down, like, low, to say. We kind of haven't... Never mind. What? Because it's a movie musical. That's... Lego Movie isn't a Lego Movie. Isn't a movie musical. Okay. But I'm just saying... Like... The movie musicals kind of have been... On the, like, down low... Kind of... Per se. They're not the... They're not as big as they... Used to be. Per se. There's no, like, original movie musicals anymore. There was one. Kind of two. Three. Four. Five, like, actual movie musicals, like, that weren't Disney stuff. Oh, six, my bad. Movie musicals have kind of been on the down low for a bit now. And I don't know. They used to be punching them, bumping them out like crazy, and we used to saw so many of them. I mean, you could also count yesterday as a like a musical film, but we're gonna get, oh shoot, we're gonna get like two more. Three more. What the heck is A Piece of My Heart? It's a G musical. Okay, technically gonna get like three movie musicals this year. Three more, eight. But I'm just saying, what will it take them to get popular again, and for them to like, for audiences to love them again? Because people like musicals, it's just we don't see them as much anymore. Or they're not as big as they used to be. Because last year we had Anne of the Apocalypse, which didn't make all that much money and wasn't released all that much. And not many people know about it. Mary Poppins Returns. It didn't get the, I don't think it made that much money. It made like not as much money as it could have done. I do feel like it could have made a lot more money. How much did it make? Ah. No, it made the money. No, actually, no. It could have made more money. To be honest, it could have made more, like at least 500 million. But it didn't make as much money as it could have. Smallfoot was not really well known. And there was also, but there are two successful musical movies that year, Bohemian Rhapsody and A Star Is Born. That was nominated for an Oscar. A Star Is Born is like had like three songs, and then one of them was repeated multiple times. Yeah, I do feel that musical movies are running low on musical movies. I really do feel like running low, and the question is, as I said before, I probably said this before, is what will take them to get popular again? And Broadway shows are starting to get like closed down, and I think it's gotta intrigue audiences. They gotta have new stuff, or maybe bring popular musicals to the big screen, like they're trying to do with West Side Story and In the Heights, Prom, and Cats. But people aren't a fan of Cats because of that trailer. That trailer was terrifying. But yeah. I just think they gotta have intriguing premises, and they gotta actually be good and continue to be good to get audiences interested again. And that's how I think they could do that. They just gotta have intriguing premises. And other than that, I really don't know. Really don't know how they're gonna make them popular again. Next one. We got Starkid. Speaking of musicals, we have Starkid. They're coming up, have an upcoming musical, Black Friday. Which reads there from the official thing, from the official page. Which has, it's written by Nick and Matt Lang, and it's got musical lyrics by Jeff Blim, which Matt and Nick, I know for sure, wrote their hit, The Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals. And Jeff Blim also wrote the music for that show, which people thought was the second best musical they have. As I was saying before, the plot for Black Friday, it's a horror comedy, which they did for the guy who didn't like musicals. They write, the this fall, the creators of The Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals are serving up a heaping helping of holiday fear. Somewhere in the American Midwest, at the crossroads of nightmare and imagination, there's a tiny town where the veil of reality wears thin and eldritch forces threaten to unravel the fabric of the universe. Okay. Black Friday is a new horror comedy musical about the shopping day from hell. When the holiday season's hottest new toy, the Tickle Me Wiggly, hits the shelves, the city of Hatchetfields goes mad for it. Literally. That's where Tom Houston, Lex Foster, Becky Barnes, and a few familiar faces must fight through a sea of murderous mallgoers to save humanity from an interdimensional being with a taste for chaos. When Wiggly comes to town, will the world survive Black Friday? That's interesting. So the cast looks really good. I heard it's literally like all the big people from Team Starkid are in it. All the big names. If you're familiar with Starkid, you know all these names, and they're all how fantastic they all are. The new people, I'm pretty sure they're new. They look very new to me. Never mind. He was in this. He was in something else. He looks very familiar. I don't know what he did, though. Okay. Oh wow, she's gorgeous. She's kind of also new. So it has the cast is that's Kurt Mega and Kim Williams. They sound familiar. Kim Williams sounds very familiar. Kurt Mega does not. He looks familiar though. It has Jamie Lynn Beatty, she has a fantastic voice, Jeff Lim, of course, Corey Doris, Lauren Lopez, Robert Mannion, which I heard he is the head of it, John Madison, which I heard he's like the main bad guy, or one of the main bad guys, Kurt Mega, he looks familiar, Joe Richter, of course, Joey Richter's in it, Dylan Saunders, he's got a brilliant voice, and Kim Whalen, and more. This looks like it's going to be funny, I hope. They focus more on the horse part of it, but knowing Nick and Matt and Jeff Blim, they're probably going to focus on the comedy more. The horror is probably going to come like in gore and blood. I really hope they focus on the horror part of it while keeping the comedy like Stephen Sondheim does with, what's it called? With the, Sweeney Todd, which he did with Sweeney. I really hope they keep that going. They keep the horror part of it going instead of the comedy. I mean, they're funny. I hope they keep it funny because that's what they're known for, but they should also focus on the horror part. Yeah, that's what they kind of didn't do with the guy who didn't like musicals. I wasn't terrified at all during the musical. I'm like, oh, that's kind of disgusting. That's about it. That's all I felt. I'm like, oh, that was kind of disgusting. Like twice. But I really hope they focus on the horror part of it, but also adding comedy at the same time. So here's the official cast according to the Team Starkid Wiki. Robert Mannion is going to be the main character, with Kim Whalen being one of the just being one of the main characters. Lauren Lopez is going to be the one going to be one of the main villains, which is Linda Monroe. Kurt Mega, it says he's been in other stuff. Jerry Richter is going to play the Tickle Me Weekly creator. John Madison is going to be the Wiggly. He's going to be the voice of the Wiggly along with other characters. Jeff Lemire doesn't. People don't know what Jeff Lemire is going to be. Frank Pugliese. Oh, he's basically going to be the average computer consumer and love Black Friday. Jamie Lynn Bentley. Beatty is again not going to be a prominent part. She's going to be wanting to get one of these Tickle Me Wigglies. Dylan Saunders in it. Tom Houston. Uh-oh. So he's going to be involved with Kim Whalen. Darren Criss is going to be making a cameo in it. Maria, whatever her name is, Rose Faith. I'm tired. Maria Rose Faith was gonna play Lex Foster, but she had to give up the role because she is currently touring with touring in the Mean Girls tour as Regina George. Good for her. I am so happy for her. But yeah, it is going to be interesting to see, say the least, of what they're gonna do with Black Friday, and I can't wait to see it. I wonder when they're gonna record it though. Yeah. All right. Next topic. Disney's Hercules, that was a fun movie. They turned that into a stage production, and there's some photos of it, and I'll give my quick thoughts on those photos. As we can see, it kind of looks very, okay. I like this a lot. I like the representation. Ooh, I love the diversity. Okay, so they did go with the African American, did go with that side of the show, and Hercules looks great. So does Hades and the oh, little girl. And so does, I'm gonna get flack for this, but so does Hercules' love interest. Ah, they look so great. The awesome singers. I haven't seen Hercules in a long time. It looks great. And it's also outside, which represents Greek even more. I wonder what they're gonna do for certain scenes, like the Hydra scene. Oh, they have really great like great puppetry for that. Yeah, I really like it actually, and I'm excited for the new songs, and I hope it's successful. I wish for it to be successful as much as possible. Yeah, I'm excited to hear the soundtrack for it. Yeah, I wish it all the best. And now our final set of news, according to I've seen online, there's a new horror game out by what was it? Supermassive Games. They did the Doctor Who video game, and they did Until Dawn. Until Dawn is a interactive story game where you get a set of characters and you basically watch a movie, and then you make them say stuff, and you make the decisions for them, and they either die or they live based on your decisions. And the first game they released after the Until Dawn, like first big game
after Until Dawn was The Dark Pictures' Man of Medan, or Medan. And I should probably check out like a gameplay, like a Let's Play, somebody playing, and see what get my official thoughts on it. But from what I can tell, like from the cutscenes and the plot, it seems like it's a good game, and I'm excited for it. I loved Until Dawn. Oh my gosh, the character was so great in that. I'm gonna read the premise to you guys, and you guys can check it out for yourselves. Premise reads, according to Wikipedia, four Americans, brothers Alex, Brad, Alex's girlfriend Julia, and her brother Conrad, travel to the South Pacific Ocean on a dive boat called the Duke of Milan, accompanied by the boat's captain Fliss for an underwater diving expedition in search of a submerged World War II plane wreck. But as the day progresses and a storm approaches, unexpected events cause the friends to become trapped on board a large ghost ship, where their worst nightmares become reality. With their safety threatened, and their sanity tested, and their survival at stake, the group must make swift life or death choices that could either lead them to freedom or cause them to suffer fatal consequences. Since Supermassive is behind it, I'm pretty sure they probably have it under control, and the acting's probably really, really great. Let me see who's on the cast. Is there gonna be a cast? No, it doesn't tell me the cast. That sucks. I really hope this continues to be well, to do well. I hope it does well. I really wish them all the best. Yeah. I wish I had more information about stuff. But I do not. I am tired. It is 11:11 p.m. I really hope you guys enjoyed this edition of Michael's Office. On all the things to talk about, I will have more topics to talk about next week. And again, have a good night. Thank you for stepping into my office.